morning. I hope ready for Shabbos Kodesh. Hope everyone is healthy and safe. This week's Parsha is, of course, Parsha's Bo. I just want to read a little ketta, a little piece from the Chalban, who we spoke about last week, the Chalban, the Kabbalistic milkman of Eretz Yisrael. What he writes about Parsha's Bo. He writes so beautifully, so poetically. He writes, HaParsha Shalanu, Hi HaRosh V'HaRishona L'Kedushasam Shal Yisrael. Kalachayim Shal Am Yisrael Hem Zecher L'Tiyas Mitzrayim. He says, this week's Parsha is the beginning and the first of the introduction of the Jewish people to a life of holiness. He says all the entire life of Am Yisrael to this very day is based upon Zecher L'Tiyas Mitzrayim, based upon the concept of remembering the Exodus, which is, of course, this week's Parsha. He writes, Parsha Shetzarich L'Kayim Ba'as HaPasuk Be'avasa Tishkeb Tomid, that in this Parsha we should always lovingly be thinking and yearning and reading this Parsha. He says, you have to breathe, Tzrichim L'Nshom Mis HaParsha Hazu. Wherever we go, every moment of our life, every movement, every step that we take, he says, has to be with Parsha's Bo. HaParsha Shalanu Hi Or Gadol. This Parsha is a great light. Kalachayim Shalanu Heid Hod Otsu Mehama'ora Hayestori Hamufla Zeh Yitzias Mitzrayim. Really, our whole life is just a reflection of this majestic moment in history known as Yitzias Mitzrayim. And in fact, when you look at the beginning of the Parsha, it's not really about what's taking place in the Parsha itself. When you look in the beginning of Parsha's Bo, in Bereishis, with a number of the Parshios, we just learned the first Pasuk. But here, Hashem says to Moshe, come with me to Paro, because I've hardened his heart. A concept, how did Paro not have Bechira Chavshus? We learned about this in the past. Rabaron Salvechik has a beautiful Torah, and that in the Sefer, Warmth in the Light, a la Torah. So that I can plant these signs in the midst of Paro in the Jewish people. Pasuk Beis, Uleman tesaper ba'oznei vincha uven vincha, eis asher hisalalti b'mitzrayim v'sosai asher samti bam, v'itatem ki ani Adonai. The whole purpose of Yitzias Mitzrayim is that your children and your grandchildren, we know that it doesn't only mean this generation and the generation following, but we know this is about La'olam Vaed for all time. The purpose of Yitzias Mitzrayim is Vidatem Ki Ani Hashem, that you should know that I am Hashem. So what the Chalban is pointing out is that really the Parsha of Yitzias Mitzrayim is, he argues, one of the most significant parshas b'chol haTorah kula. We know that we're not supposed to weigh what parsha is more important, what parsha is more significant, but he says it's indisputable that this is parsha is a great light, and this is essentially the whole foundation of what it means to be a Jew. It's found in this week's parsha. So with that introduction, let's learn a little bit about the parsha, right? And we know that Rashi, in the beginning of the Torah, raises the issue that we've discussed many, many times before. Rashi, really, in this beginning of his Peirush al Torah, he says that the Torah really didn't need anything before. It didn't need Bereishis, it didn't need the story of creation, it didn't need the story of the flood, of the tower, Migdal Bavel, it didn't need to tell us about Avram and Sarah, Yitzchak Rivka, Yaakov and Esav, Yaakov and Lavan, Yaakov and Rachel Veleya, Yaakov and the Shvatim, Yosef, we didn't need any of that. We didn't need the beginning of Mitzrayim either. You know what we needed? We just needed to start with Perek Yud Beis, Pasuk Aleph, right, which is HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem Rosh Chodashim. That's how the Torah has to start. Do you understand what Rashi is pointing out? What Rashi is saying is that this is really the beginning of the Jewish people. This is the beginning of our relationship with Hashem. And why is that, of course? Because this is the first mitzvah that Hashem gives to the Jewish people as a whole. The Rambam in his Perush HaMishnayos discusses this and many others as well, that we're Jewish and we have this unique relationship with Hashem. Of course, it was predicated upon the relationship with Avram and Yitzchak and Yaakov. But ultimately, we know from a story that we're going to read in a couple of weeks in Parshas Kisisa with the Chet HaEgel, that the real commitment is only through Kabbalah HaTorah. It was only because Kabbalah's HaTorah with the Egel wasn't consummated, that wasn't completed, that relationship. And hence, we were in danger of absolute destruction. But we know that it's really the power of the Klal, and we spoke about that last week as well from the Chalban, that Ani Hashem, the revelation of this new aspect of Hashem, is only to the Bnei Yisrael as a whole. And so that's why the Torah really only has to begin from the first mitzvah given to this new entity, this new organism, if you will, known as the Bnei Yisrael, as Klal Yisrael. And so what is this first mitzvah? It's, of course, the mitzvah of HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodeshim. And the mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh, the mitzvah of sanctifying the new month. We've said many times in the past the famous Torah of the Sfarno, just from a historical perspective, why is this the first mitzvah that Hashem gives the Jewish people? Because this is the mitzvah that Hashem is setting the Jewish people free with. Right? The first mitzvah Hashem is going to command all the Jewish people is basically how Hashem has to free Klal Yisrael. So how is he freeing the Jewish people from Egypt? By giving them time. By giving them time. The Sfarno points out that and we shared this in the beginning of our SCP shiur on Tuesday night, that the primary distinction between a slave and a free person is how they are able to control time. A slave has no concept of time. If a master comes and tells a slave 2 o'clock in the afternoon, 2 o'clock in the morning, to go work for 10 minutes, to go work for 10 hours, what is a slave going to do? A slave is beholden to the master. And Rav Soloveitchik points out that perhaps the primary distinction between a slave and a free person is their control of time, time consciousness. And that's the idea from the Sfarno. And we've certainly discussed this many times in the past. I think everyone has that nisayon bizman hazeh, the nisayon of time, of what we do with our time and time wasters. It's really unbelievable. I think it's a challenge that I don't know any other generation has had, because we've never been so overstimulated. We've never been so conditioned to such an extent that, you know, we're constantly looking at our phones. That's why Shabbos, Baruch Hashem, Shabbos is a day of freedom, a day that, you know, we don't look at it. You know, on Shabbos, the opportunity to just sit with a human being and have a conversation, not like looking at the phone. You know, one of my children says to me, you know, Abba, you know, he'll just walk up to me and say, do you love me? And we say, don't look at the phone, look at me. Do you love me? Look at me, right? Look at me. Put down the phone, right? And that's one of the challenges of COVID when you begin to live in your workplace, right? So this is of course a challenge that we always have, the question of time. And certainly it's very chashuv. But I think there's also a different lesson here. And this some tzaddikim talk about. The concept of HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem also means something else. What is HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem? The concept is the koach of chiddush is given over to you. Right? What is Kiddush HaChodesh really about? It's about recreation. It's about natural cycles beginning again. A symbol of Hashem's mastery of this world. That's what Kiddush HaChodesh is. That's what it is when we Kaddish the new month, when we go out and we say Kiddush Levana with such simcha, as the Gemara in Sanhedrin says, it's Ki'ilu Mekabel Pnei Hashchina. It's as if you're receiving the divine presence. But what's HaKadosh Baruch Hu doing? HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodashim. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, yeah, I'm in control of nature, but no, I'm giving you the ability to be mechadish. I'm giving you the ability to renew. And you know what your greatest koach of chiddush is? To renew, of course, yourself. And that's why maybe a deeper pshat in Rashi saying that the Torah only has to begin with HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem. Why does the Torah have to begin with HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem? Because what does the story of Bereishis have to do with you and me? No offense. Right? What does the story of Bereishis have to do with us? Right? Okay, Hashem created the world. That's good. What's our marching orders from Bereishis? Again, we could be very, very, very beautiful homiletics. Rav Soloveitchik said that imitatio Dei, we have to imitate the divine, just as Hashem created worlds. We have to create a world. Right? But what does it mean for us to create? And that's what Rashi's saying. The Torah really needs to just begin with HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem, because that's the first instruction for a person. that you have the power to create anew. You have the power of Chiddush. And what is that power of Chiddush? Of course, it's to create ourselves. And this is what it means, Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim. What is Yetzias Mitzrayim all about? The ability to set ourselves free from the Meitzarim, from the constrictions, from the boundaries that have held us back. The Chalban talks about the fact, he said that it's fascinating, that from the time of creation until the very first mitzvah given to the Jewish people, the world, he said, was just getting darker and darker. He said, when you think about it, the whole act of creation was an act of minimizing the awareness of God in this world. The very act of creation was what? Was putting up veils between us and God. That's why Bereshis Bara Elokim, the concept of Din, the concept of God as Elokim, of justice, of pulling back, of constricting, of Givura, right, which is the ability to pull back. So Kaviyachol, we know the Kabbalists explain that in creation, HaKadosh Baruch Hu pulled back, and he created a space for the world to exist. Left atar the panimine klal, there's no place that is devoid of God's presence, but we know that if God's presence was unfiltered, we would cease to exist. All of reality would cease to exist. So the Chalban points out that from the very beginning of creation, the world was just getting darker and darker. God was being hidden more and more and more. And as we pointed out last week, that in the book of Bereshis, once you get past the beginning of Bereshis, once you get past the open miracles of creation and the flood, and aside from appearances of the Eibishter appearing in Benevuah to the Avos and the Imahos, right? What goes on in Bereshis? It's just more and more darkness, less and less of God's nature in this world. And we know that the very act of Brias Olam, creation of the world Olam, as we've said many times, is a Lashon of Helam. It's a Lashon of hiddenness, right? That Ayin Lamed Mem, that root of the word Olam, also means L'Halim, to hide. So therefore, this world is just putting layer and layer and layer upon God's existence until you can have people to deny God's existence in the world. Right? So many people are Rachman al-Itzlan. There's a root God. Where's God? Right? The famous Russian cosmonaut, when he got out there into space, he said, now we know there's no God. Look, there's no God. I'm here in outer space. I don't see God. Right? Shtuyot. How foolish, how immature, how childish. But as Chaban says, that the world was just getting, since creation, it was just getting darker and darker and darker and darker until HaChodesh HaZalachem, until the revelation of Hashem's will in this world. Granted, there was one mitzvah that was given before in this, right? What was the one mitzvah given before? The Feirush that Avram was told to have Bris Milah. And it's interesting that in this parsha, again, Bris Milah is stressed because you don't have a Karban Pesach without a Bris Milah. But here is where the Torah begins with the revelation of Hashem's light in the world. Hashem's light is through Torah. Layehudim Aysa Ora V'simcha V'sasan V'kar, right? As we're going to know, it's already crazy, crazy getting ready for Purim. Mamash a year. Oh boy. Getting ready for Purim. Layehudim Aysa Ora. Ora Zu Torah. Ora, light is Torah. So when, since the beginning of creation, the diminution of God's presence in the world, it only starts to be revealed again. The light of God really only starts to be revealed right here. When the Torah HaKadosh is being given to the Jewish people, the first mitzvah. But what is this first mitzvah? The first mitzvah is HaChodesh HaZalachem. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving us the koach of His Chadshus. And what does that mean? We know. Daf Yomi learned it not too long ago, but there are numerous midrashim about this. We'll get to Maseches Yoma, we'll talk about it even more. That one of the things that pre-existed before creation was, in fact, tshuva. Tshuva existed before the world. The light of tshuva comes from a very, very high place in the spheros. The concept of tshuva from the world of Bina, like really one of the mochin, one of the spheros that are not revealed in any way here. The mind, if you will, of the spheres, it's in the mind, the conceptual theories of beyond existence. But this concept of HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem Rosh Chodashim, when we talk about a parsha of Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim, we talk about a parsha that is the lifeblood of the Jewish people. It starts in the first mitzvah, HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem. And what that means for a Jew is, of course, that we should be constantly, constantly aspiring for his chadshus. It's one of my favorite stories of the Beis Yisrael of Ger, right? Those that I've learned with a lot, you know this story. When the Beis Yisrael or Yisrael Alter of Ger, Zechus Yegein Aleinu, was once approached by a fellow who was learning in the Or Sameach Kolel, and he told the fellow that he told the Beis Yisrael that Nishta Balchiva, that I'm learning in Or Sameach, but I'm not a Balchiva. The Beis Yisrael was horrified. He says, "Why not? I'm a Balchiva. It's been a Balchiva, right? We're all Balei Tshuva. That's the whole essence of what it means to be a Jew. Every morning when we wake up in the morning, Rabbein Lunasecha, we ask ourselves, you know, why HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us life today? It's because we are going to be Mechadish. Because we're going to bring some Chiddush into this world. Whether it's a chesed for another Jew, whether it's a tefillah, whether it's an insight in Torah, or whether it's words of Torah, that we're going to lift up the sparks of these holy words. So when we talk about his chadshus, when we talk about HaChodesh HaZelachem being the very reason why the world is created, meaning the very first mitzvah, that this is really what the Torah has to begin with, we have to know that this is the beginning of the instruction manual. That before we start reading the actual instructions, this is like the first meta instruction. That when you mess up the instructions, you didn't mess up entirely. There's no such thing as messing up entirely. And that's what some people point out. The Lubavitcher Rebbe is a Chusei Gein Aleinu. By the way, this Shabbos is a big Shabbos by Chabad. If anyone doesn't know, you want to be by a Chabad this Shabbos, the vodka will be flowing freely. Not that it doesn't every Shabbos, but especially because this Shabbos is Yud Shvat. Yud Shvat is the famous Basi Lagani. This is the yard site of the Friedrich Rebbe, the Rebbe of Yitzchak Yitzchak, the previous Lubavitcher Rebbe. And a year later, on Yud Shvat, is when the Lubavitcher Rebbe, Rebbe Menachem Mendel, Zechus Yegein Aleinu, took over as the Rebbe. So, and he, it's known as Basi Lagani because the previous Rebbe started a mimer of Basi Lagani, that I've come into my garden, based upon the psukim of Shir HaShirim, a beautiful, beautiful mimer. One of my Talmidim from 20 plus years ago, who has actually grew up Chabad, he gave me this mimer. This was a gift he gave me when he left yeshiva, and every year I take it out and I try to learn it on Yud Shvat. So it's a big, big Shabbos, the Shabbos by Chabad, Yud Shvat. But the Lubavitcher Rebbe points out in the beginning of Parsha that we see Hashem constantly being mechazik le'paro, chbadias libo. But he says that even to Paro it wasn't closed off. Even to Paro, and Lubavitcher Rebbe has many, many Torahs about this that we've discussed in the past. And this is the concept, this is the contrast, that to a Paro, chbadias libo, that Paro, you know, he put himself in a situation of kvedus halev, that he was mechazik his own heart so many times. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the way that many say, took away the siyata d'shmaya that helps each and every one of us do tshuva. HaKadosh Baruch Hu took away the siyata d'shmaya, this special help from heaven, from the Lubavitcher Rebbe, the Lubavitcher Rebbe says, from Paro to be able to do the tshuva. But for us, HaChodesh HaZelachem, this is the contrast that's being drawn between the beginning of the parasha of Kichbadis Liba for Paro, that lost that opportunity, to each and every one of us, of HaChodesh HaZelachem Rosh Chodashim. And so this is the first idea, again, the concept of time, but more, much more than that, that we've discussed many times in the past, but to understand what great light is being revealed, that this is a light literally from before creation of HaChodesh HaZelachem Rosh Chodashim, the light of Ischadshus, the light of Tshuva, the light of constant growth. And that's very intimidating, constant growth. We know, in fact, Rav Avigdor Nevinzal Shlita, Rav of the Old City, he points out that that's really what scared away Lot from Avram Avinu. You know what Lot was bothered by? That he had to separate himself from Avram Avinu? And this is in Parshas Lech Lecha, it's said over there in Rashi. We're not going to go into the proof text. I don't have time about time. Ooh, okay, it's already a little bit late. I'm sorry. When we learn Tuesday night, I try to keep it a little bit shorter. But Rav Nevinzal points out, if you look in Parshas Lech Lecha, look in the Rashi when it discusses what Lot was running away from, Mikadmuno, he goes Kedem, he goes towards the east, towards Sodom and Amorah. Rashi says Mikadmono Shel Olam, he removes himself from the originator of the world, from Hashem. But Rav Nevinzal, based on Medrash, tightens up, you know what really what he was bothered by? You know what Lot really couldn't stand to be near? Was Avram Avinu, that was constantly Liskadim, l'kadem, to go further, to progress, to move further on. And Lot was just blown away by his uncle, who is an old man, who has accomplished so much in his life, is Omid bin Isayon, is constantly striving for even more, to go even greater. And we know Avram Avinu, Asar Nisyonos, 10 Nisyonos, massive, massive challenges that Avram Avinu went through. But you don't think he had little Nisyonos every day? And Avram Avinu was constantly, constantly focused on growth. And this is HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem Rosh Chodashim for us, the children of Avram Avinu, to recognize that this is the first instruction that the Torah gives us. And so that's one idea. I think it's very important to recognize that never, never, as the Kotzker says, Yishalomidas, never to become, to give up. Alter Shaharbe, as the Mishnah says, don't think you're such a Rasha. Don't think you're such a Rasha. Because when a person thinks they're such a Rasha, they think that there's no hope for them. So Chas V'Shalom, we know that Acher, the famous Rebbe of Rebbe Meir, Elisha ben Avuya, So the Gemara famously tells that Acher heard a bas call that says, "Shuvu banim shovavim chutz me Acher," that return to me my wayward children, except from Acher. Again, shuvu banim shovavim. This is the time of the year of shovavim, the time when we're supposed to find out, we've discussed what we're slaves to set ourselves free, because that's the great or in these parshios, the light of freedom. And again, that's what HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem Rosh Chodashim. So what does it mean? How could it be? Shuvu banim shovavim chutz me Acher. So many tzaddikim say, I believe if Salvechik had an idea like this and others, that what do you mean? Acher heard a bas call. It says, Shuvu banim shovavim chutz me Acher. What does that mean? So Acher couldn't do tshuva. Zokt, that no, chutz me Acher. If you identify yourself as Acher, you're right. There's no tshuva for that individual known as Acher, but you're Elisha ben Avuya. Reinvent who Elisha ben Avuya is. You're not Acher. You're Elisha ben Avuya, and that's the Mishnah Alter Shaharbe. And so this is the first mitzvah, because this is what we have to remember before we start in any mitzvah. Because we're not angels, we're not perfect, we don't strive for perfection, right? If you strive for perfection, please, please get a good therapist, as I can be made of myself, right? You need a good therapist. Striving for perfection is not a good thing. But HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem allows us to fall. It allows us not to be perfect. It allows us to be human beings and still strive and still grow. And then when the Parsha continues, there are numerous, numerous allusions to a very important Yesod in the Parsha. But famously, it's quoted from the Sefer Achinuch and other places, but the Bnei Yisachar has a beautiful piece on this. The whole mitzvah of Karban Pesach, right? Because right after the mitzvah, HaKadosh HaZeh Lachem Rosh Chodashim, what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu talk to them about? Dabriel kol adas Yisrael le'imar be'esar l'chodesh hazev yichulim ish selavetz avos selabayis. It's the mitzvah of Karban Pesach. And we know that the Torah gets very detailed in the Hilchas Pesach. We've spoken many times before of the mitzvah of etzem l'sishpruvo, the prohibition to break the bone when you're eating a Karban Pesach. The Daf Hayomi is going to learn this in a little bit. In the Psachim, this is what Daf Yomi is going to get to in a couple of blot. The idea that when you're eating a Karban Pesach, you can't, right, bite on the bone and suck out the marrow. Like if you have good ribs and the bone is cooked well and it's soft, you can like chomp on the bone, you get out the marrow. You can't do such a thing. Why? The Chinuch tells us famously, because Acher Apulos Nimshachin Alavavos, that we are drawn, our inner state is created by our outer actions, right? Like if you've never tried it, the Rav Meir Goldwicht exercise, Shlita, Rebbe Yeshiva University, Rav Meir Goldwicht, you want, if you're in a bad mood, just smile. Just smile. Just force yourself to smile and see how long you stay in a bad mood for. Right? Rav Meir Goldwicht is the happiest, sweetest person I know, and he's always smiling. So what's pshat? Is pshat that Rav Meir Goldwicht is always happy, so he's always smiling? So one of his sons once shared, that I think it was one of his sons who shared it with me about his father. He's like, my father doesn't always smile because he's happy. He's happy because he always smiles. Rav Meir always spoke about Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach Zatzal, his Rebbe, one of the great poskim, as Manenu and the Gedolei Adar, who also pictures Rav Shlomo Zalman, all with a smile. So Acher Pulas Amnashim Shachan Alvavos, that we can control our inner emotional state. But there's also another halacha that the Sefer HaChinuch also talks about that is not as learned. And what is that? And the B'nai Yisachar speaks about this. I want to just take out from the B'nai Yisachar. When the Pasuk tells us in Perek Yud Peis Pasuk Tes, Al Toch L'menu Na Uvashal Mevushal B'mayim Ki Im Tzli Eish Rosh Al Kiro V'Al Kirbo, that you can't eat the Karban Pesach cooked. It can't even be partially roasted. The Karban Pesach has to be only roasted over a fire, right? And we know the halacha is, you can't put it on a barbecue. You might think, oh, it has to be roasted. Great, I'll put it on a barbecue. No. Why can't you put it on a barbecue? The Lomdei Dafayomi will learn this not too long, that if you cook it on a barbecue, it's not being cooked directly by the fire, because the fire is heating up the metal, and a lot of it is being cooked by the metal. So it has to be directly cooked by fire. But what's this about, that it has to be only roasted? So the Sefer HaChinuch tells us that the reason why you can't eat the Karban Pesach Mevashel, quote, Hu ho'ra'a she'yatzanu mi'mitzrayim l'cheiris alum. Because we have to remember that when we left Mitzrayim, it wasn't just that we were set free from the Sheba in Mitzrayim, but as we say in davening every day, Vayotze asamo Yisrael mitochum l'cheirus olam. In Marv and Emes v'emuna kalzos, right after we say Vayotze asamo Yisrael mitochum l'cheirus olam, that when Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim, what took place in this week's parasha, it was an eternal freedom that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out from. It wasn't only Shibud Mitzrayim, it was from all of Shibud. And he says Va'achilas tzlihu achilas milochim bisarim. And you know who ate it roasted? I mean, this is very interesting chat from the Sefer HaChinuch in terms of the culinary methods used back in the day. He says, you know who had to cook meat? You know how to put sauces on meat? People that didn't have enough meat, that didn't have the highest quality of meat. And therefore, they had to dress it up. You know, I remember once when I went to the restaurant of my chaver tov, my good friend, Reb Seth Warshaw Shlita, ETC, for those that haven't been there, Hashem should bless you. You should go taste the steak from Seth. And I remember, I think it was the first time that we went, and I told Leah, my wife, I said, you know, I need ketchup. I grew up in my house. You ate meat with ketchup. My mother, we always had Heinz ketchup, right? And I remember I told my wife, I'm going to ask for ketchup. And she's like, no, you're not supposed to eat it with ketchup. I said, I'm going to eat it with ketchup. And I asked the waiter to bring me out ketchup. And who else but the chef, my good friend Seth Warshaw, comes out from the kitchen in his chef gear. And he says, really, Rav, ketchup, you shouldn't have ketchup with my steak. You know, and that's what I only realized now, that Seth was telling me, Sefer HaChinuch, that when you have really good meat, you don't need any sauce for a really good meat. You just need it roasted. You need it on the fire. You need it, you know, you need it. So that's what he says. But Zakt the B'nai Sasker, what does this mean? What does this mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out L'Cheiris Olam? What's the Cheiris that we're talking about? Because we know that the Jewish people have been enslaved many times since Yitzias Mitzrayim, Rachmana Litzlan. Unfortunately, to our great pain and our great sorrow, Rachmana Litzlan, we don't have to look too far back in Jewish history to find the time that the Jewish people were mamish enslaved, even to a worse degree than we were enslaved by Paro, perhaps. So what does this mean that Hashem took us out L'Cheiris Olam? What's the symbol that we can't eat the roast, that we can't eat meat cooked, that has to be roasted, because that's how kings do it? What do you mean? What you didn't do though? We weren't kings for all these centuries. So Zakt, the B'nai Yisachar, he says that the Menia Melechel HaPesach Na, the prohibition from eating the Pesach, even partially cooked, or even partially roasted, has to be tzli kol tzarkot, has to be roasted thoroughly, and that's it. Why? Because mitam echad lahorus lanu sheyatzanu mimitzrayim l'cheiris olam mishelo lehishtaved l'shibud olami rak levorche levakeh tzarchi nafshenu ki lekach notzarnu v'zeh kol adam. He says, you know what the message of Seder night is? You know what the message of Yitzias Mitzrayim is? You know what the Chalban meant? That this parsha is an Or Gadol, that this parsha is a great light, that this is a parsha that we should be living with every moment, every step that we take. We should have Parsha's Bo with us. Parsha's Bo is the revelation, the first revelation of the great light since creation, when things were getting darker and darker. Now Hashem's Ratzon is being revealed in this world in a massive way. But you know what the Ratzon is? You know what this Chadshus, the Koach HaChidosh, why that's given to us? because the message of the mitzvahs given in this week's parsha are to tell us, and the purpose of Yetzias Mitzrayim entirely, is that we're taken l'cheres olam lo lehishtabed l'shibur olami rak levakesh tzarchei nafshenu, that we should not be enslaved to our physicality. We should not be enslaved to matters of this world. That the darkness that we found through Bereishis, in which there were no real miracles, and the purpose of the miracles, the lesson of Parshas Bo, is to remember who we are. It's to remember that even when we fall, Achodesh Hazalachem, Hashem has given us His Chadshus. To remember these intricate halachos of culinary advice, of tzli and etzem lo sishperuva. What's this all about? Why is everything Zecher Letzias Mitzrayim? So Chalban says, everything about Judaism is mevusas, is based on this yisod, Zecher Letzias Mitzrayim. Our whole life is Jews. Because Zecher Letzias Mitzrayim reminds us that we're not about the stake. Zecher Letzias Mitzrayim reminds us that although we find ourselves in a world of hiddenness, in a world of masks, in a world of veils, in which we so often forget about truth, that we have to stay passionately, passionately seeking that truth, to be living that truth. And even when we slip, and even when we miss, and even when we see things a little bit wrong, to regain that perspective, that's really what these mitzvahs are all about. And that's the koach, again, of Shovavim. That's the time that we find ourselves here now. And, you know, that's why there are those that have a minute of fasting on the Thursdays of Shovavim. To fast, what's the purpose of fasting? I wonder why we fast. Like, really, you know, when I teach, I can never fast. You know, you have to teach. But what's the purpose of a fast? The purpose of a fast is to remind you of what you're here for and what you're not here for. Yeah, you're tired. Yeah, you're weak. And you eat after and you feel energized. But it's just to remind you, lo alechem levado yichya adam, that we don't live on this. It's just something that's supposed to jar us out of complacency. It's just supposed to something to help us realign and readjust those sites. And Hashem should just bless us all that when we're zoche to read a Parshas Bo, to try and take in this Or Gadol, this great light that's being revealed in this first Parshas Mitzvahs, the first Parsha Mitzvahs. There are more Mitzvahs in this Parsha than any Parsha up until now, and all the Parshas together until now. Yeah, you have three Mitzvahs until you start Parshas Bo, but you have nothing. You have no Mitzvahs until you come to Parshas Bo. And this is something that we're not going to get into, but the Kabbalists all talk about this and others, that we have to remember in Mitzrayim, there was Golos Adas. Right, many talk about Dibur, that speech was subjugated, was enslaved in Mitzrayim. That's why Pesach is Pesach, the mouth that speaks, and that's why we celebrate Tzipri Yetzias Mitzrayim by speaking. But Dr. Singer, the eminent psychologist, he can explain to us all, you know, how it works, that speech and thought are very much connected. And the question is, which comes first? And this is something many psychologists discuss. I only remember that from graduate school, from educational psychology, doctor. You know, but the idea that the Pesach, that speech had to be liberated in Egypt, because even our speech was enslaved. And that's why the Pesach doesn't say we davened Hashem, we just screamed out Hashem. But the Kabbalists say, you know, it was also enslaved in Egypt. It wasn't only the speech, it was our das. Was our very minds were enslaved in Egypt. And the speech was just, the enslaved speech was just a function, a simon, a sign that our das was enslaved. And the breaking free of our minds were through the mitzvahs. Through the mitzvahs that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us. The makos were just getting us ready to be able to be mekabel the new das. But the mochin, and this is tshuva, comes from the mochin and bina, because it's about reassessing. It's about getting your das straight and understood. So Hashem should bless us all that when we learn Parshas Bo, we should invest in really plumbing the depths, discussing at our Shabbos table, taking time Friday night to dive into this beautiful, beautifully deep Parsha, and to come out with a sense of ischadshus and a sense of clarity of das. Have a great Shabbos, everyone. Take care. Shabbos k'Shabbos.